Now, before the faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
I've been reading a book called The New Harmony. It's written by John Philip Newell, and one of his chapters, he calls it the India Journey chapter. And in 1990, he was invited by an English mystic, Evelyn Underhill. He was invited to India. And he was a Presbyterian, Scottish Presbyterian, if you know what that's like. In the 1990s, that would have been pretty strict and law-abiding, and going to India kind of scared him. And he said the first night he went to India, it was the East, right? I mean, we're a different kind of understanding of God. And so he remembers the first night having a dream in which he was drinking, get this, shots of vodka with Mikhail Gorbachev. And so this was in his dream, and his wife said, boy, you have a very inflated understanding of yourself in your dreams. and he woke up and he thought, what a strange dream. What is this all about? Well, Gorbachev represented the East. And at that time in 1990, if you remember, the Berlin Wall was going down. Gorbachev was trying to get Russia to open up, right, and embrace the West. And so here he was going to the East, and he was going to India, and he felt threatened by the East and that openness. And he thought he might lose himself. And just listen to what he says. My Western education had trained me to be a suspect of the Eastern mysticism. It was subjective, I thought. Part of me feared that I'd be deluded by drinking at the well of Eastern spirituality. Carl Jung says that in India, one gets pushed back into the unconscious, and that was my fear. Dream life and the unconscious represented for me a world of delusion. To open to it was to run the risk of being flooded by it. I had been taught that truth was primarily outside of myself, be accessed through the intellect and through propositional truth. And Western Christianity, with its doctrine of original sin, had given me the impression that what was deepest in me was opposed to God. Here in the East, I was about to encounter the opposite, that God was in me. And so then he says, one day when he was in India, he was at Lal Bank Garden in Bangalore, and he met this elderly Indian gentleman, and he was greeted with a conversation by this guy. There were a few pleasantries, and finally the elderly guy, who he found out was a retired banker, kind of wagged his head back and forth, and he said, I have a question for you. Who are you? And he said, I sensed he didn't want my name, but that's kind of what I do. I'm from the West, by the way. So he said, oh, my name's John Philip. To which he replied, still kindly, nodding his head from side to side, I was not asking you what your name is. I was asking, who are you? So I said to him, well, I come from the same one you come from. And he liked that answer. But then later he turned to me and he said, I must be going now, but I have one final thing to say to you. You are God. And until you realize that you are God, you will not be wise. You will not be happy. You will not be free. Namaste. And then he goes on to say this, since then I have often wondered when I will have such a conversation in Edinburgh, Scottish Gardens, with a retired Scottish banker, especially a Scottish Presbyterian banker. Now, I tell you that story because, in a sense, I believe that what Paul encountered in Christ was a similar transformation. He felt in his religion that God was always up and away, and that God often removed God's self from him and from his people because they were sinners and they were going down the wrong path, that God had removed God's self from them. And so the people of Israel at that time were always just trying to correct all their problems because they were always saw themselves as negative. And they had to please God and get God's grace to bring God back. And you can read that in a lot of the prophets. But I think what Paul encountered in his encounter with Christ was an idea that radicalized what he thought about God. That he had Christ in him. And that when he embraced that Christ in him, that authentic self, I will say, and saw that authentic Christ in other people, God became a different way of looking. God changed for him. And he got this radical understanding, and we have it. Have you ever heard this statement? May the Christ in me meet the Christ in you. We have this understanding that we have a little bit of God, a spark of God, an imago Deo, inside of us. Now, this is hard for some people to take, because if you grew up in the church for a long time, if you read, for instance, our old communion liturgy, it says in there, we are not worthy of eating even the crumbs under the table. Do you remember those statements? So we're not good enough even to eat. We're like dogs, right? I mean, that was kind of their understanding. It was only by God's grace in Christ that we're allowed in. But I think that that's a mistake. I think the real truth of it is that we really do have an authentic self that is a part of God's grace and mercy. We have a little piece of God in us, a spark of God. What if another word for Christ might be authentic self? If we could find our authentic self, that, and we were able to see that authentic self in everybody we know, that our understanding of God would grow, right? We wouldn't be stuck denying ourselves. I brought with me today a quilt that was made for me by a good friend in South Dakota, and she's a Lakota. And she made me this, or Cindy and I, this star quilt, and it was such a gift of honor to get this. But the story behind the quilt in the Native American understanding is they were always people who were from the star. They had stardust on them. And so to give this to someone else is to say, you too have that stardust. And then in their tradition, if you lose your way, if you become an alcoholic and can't find your way through, if you get depressed and can't find your authentic self anymore, they will take this, it's a much bigger quilt than this, and wrap it around someone who's lost and pray over them so they will remember again who they are, that they have God inside of them, that they're part of the stars, they're stardust. I love that image. And I really believe with all my heart that's what Paul was getting around to when he was talking about we're neither male nor female anymore, Greek nor Jew, but we're all one in Christ. We all have this beautiful gift of God's grace inside of us. We all are a part of God. And that transformed who he was. I remember one of the things I remember when I was a kid was there was a big divide in my little town. Maybe you had this divide too, and it wasn't Christian Muslim or Buddhist Christian. It was Catholic and Protestant. I mean, we had a Catholic side of the cemetery. We had a Protestant side of the cemetery. And you couldn't be buried either way. You know, you had to have a side. And I had a friend who was Catholic, and we played all the time. We loved to play. But on Saturdays and Sundays, they went to church on Saturday. We went to church on Sunday. And on Saturdays, his dad would not let me play with him. And then Sunday, he wouldn't let me play with him either, because those were our days of worship. So we couldn't play together. And I just thought it was so ridiculous, right? And so, but, you know, kids have a way of seeing God in a different way, right? So we snuck out on Saturdays and Sundays. We'd snuck around, and we climbed trees together. We'd go fishing together. Dad never found out, so that was great. In a sense, what I want to say to you, what would happen to us today if we're drawing the circle wider, if we thought about other religions too as a place where we can draw the circle wider, that we don't have to see them as people who don't get it, or we don't have to see them as all wrong, but instead of the same cloth, and just seeing God through a different window, and maybe as real friends, you know, and embrace them. I think it would really be important. And the other thing, just going back to LGBTQ plus and that community, look, our goal in life is to be our authentic selves. That's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be who we were made to be. And those folks are just trying to find their authentic self. And when we deny, when they find their authentic self and we deny it, I think we're denying God and God's reality in them. May the Christ in me meet the Christ in you. And I hope today we can start thinking of that and see here. We're not just a group of sinners coming together, you know, to receive grace, and yet we are. You know, I know we blow it, and we've got problems, right? But we're also people of the star with Christ planted inside of us. And when we honor each other as authentic people, who they are, for instance, Audrey, if we see Audrey for Audrey and not Sonia's daughter, that is honoring who she is, right? I mean, that she's sacred for who she is. That if we start doing that, folks, people will continue to want to be here, because they'll find themselves here too. And they'll see God not only up on the cross, but in their neighbor. And even more important, they maybe will be able to draw their circle wide enough to include themselves fully. I remember talking about this in one of our disciple Bible studies. Cindy, you were in it, and there was a gal in there who, she told me one time, you need to preach hell more. You know, just preach a lot more hell. It's in the Bible. You need to preach more hell. And I thought, oh boy, I'm not sure this is going to work, Ellen. But we were talking about that in Christ, there's a bridge, that God creates a bridge from God to humankind. But it also says in that scripture passage that we're a part of the bridge. And she would not admit that. She said, no, I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I can't be part of that bridge. And I had the hardest time trying to convince her that she had Christ in her. And it was just something that she worked through. And I hoped she's found it. I wasn't able to get there completely with her. But we are. You know, don't be one of those dogs under the table getting the crumbs. You are truly deserving of God's love, and may you share that with others. And all the people said, amen.